and Pastor Don here, and also they have two ladies from their congregation with them, and I'll let Pastor Tammy just come on up, and she'll want her pulpit over here.
Thank you. Brandon and Morgan, can you come up? Are you in here? I like worship. I get things in worship, usually. I don't get, you know, you just don't get studying and all. But I heard a word for y'all, and I want us to pray for you. I heard the Lord say, sometimes you wonder if you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And, you know, sometimes even like you could feel like you're overwhelmed with responsibility. But God said to tell you and just to remind you not to do anything outside of agreement. Like if one of you want to stop doing something, make sure the other one's in agreement with it. Or if one of you want to do something, make sure the other one's in agreement with it. But he wants you to know right now, at this point in this time, you're right where he wants you to be. And you're doing right what he wants you to do. And you're right on that perfect timeline for your lives. Amen? Does that bear witness with your hearts? Okay.
Yes, okay. Can we pray for you?
I don't know how this is even going to be possible, but as I was watching you all worship, I believe I heard the Lord say that he's going to increase the passion that you have, not only for him, but the passion and desire that you have for ministry in your lives. And I said, Lord, how's that even possible? I looked at you sweating up a storm and passion screaming to God. I said, how's that even possible? But man, don't work it up. God's going to do it. He's going to increase the passion and desire that you have even more than you can imagine.
Just remember, God leads. He's a gentleman. He leads you, but the enemy pushes. So when you feel that pushing to be a certain way or go somewhere or do something, don't do it. Just wait for the leading. And the leading of the Holy Spirit sometimes can be persistent because we don't want to follow. But God just wants you to remember, you're led. You're not pushed. Okay? Katie and Dave, come up. Guess it's his minister to the pastor kids day.
Thank you, Lord, for your plan and your purpose. And I hear the Spirit of God saying, perfect compliment.
Hallelujah. For the ladies that were here yesterday and heard a little bit of my testimony, this is my prize, my husband. Those that don't know him, he's my compliment in every sense of the word. It is so good, again, to be here. I love the worship, Pastor Mike. The last song's my favorite one. I screamed so loud I thought I was going to strain my voice, wouldn't be able to speak. But, you know, God is good, isn't he? He's good all the time. And I believe I have a word today that will encourage you. But I think it's a word probably you've been hearing, I'm hoping. And I think it's something that God really wants you to all to get a hold of. I see the space empty right now over here and empty over here. But if you'll grab this, the space here is going to be full. And Pastor Mike and Debbie, because of your faithfulness in your hearts, I hear special children. But God can trust you with them. He can't trust everybody with them. And it's just time. Does anybody know? Can I have the first part of my overhead, please? Does anybody know what time it is? It's harvest time. That's something to get excited about, isn't it? Well, I was on vacation this summer. We visited a little church. We like to do that when we're on vacation. We don't get a chance to go out as pastors and see people too often and see other churches and what's going on. But while we were visiting this church, I just went off with the Lord, and I heard this phrase in the summer. I heard it's harvest time, and it tickled me, and because it was hot. And, you know, I just thought, huh. And then as I wrote it down, and I just went off sometimes. You know, you do that with the Lord and didn't even hear what the pastor was preaching, and I'm sure it was a wonderful message. But I just started writing, and that's how I hear from God, usually. He just was stirring that in my heart. It's harvest time. If we can get a hold of that and understand what that really means, what does it mean to harvest? And how much is it on God's heart? We want what's on God's heart, don't we? So as I was, you know, thinking about it, and all, I took this back to the Lord, and he told me to hold it, that I would speak it at our church. And then I did a few months ago. And as I was praying for y'all, and we're seeing results from this, because our people, our prayer people, really got a hold of this. And I'm not trying to tell you all what to do, but I even felt like in your confession, people need to be involved in that too. Because he's going to do it. And our congregation has gotten a hold of it. And we've labored and we've prayed and we've done the work and we've planted seed for a long time. And we're starting to see, praise God, some results from that. I think we've had about 4 or 5 new families in the last month or so. And for us, that's a lot, you know, as we've just been laying that foundation, like I talked about yesterday, for a long time. So listen today and hear what the Spirit of God would say to you, and ask him as I share what would be your part. Amen. I just want to pray. Thank you, Father, for your heart. God, that we hear your heart. Lord, we want to know what's important to you. We don't want to guess. We don't want to just move out in what we think, but we want to know and we want to hear and understand what's in the heart of God for this hour and this time that we live in. So Lord, convey it to us and place your anointing on it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the natural, we're very familiar with our timepieces. I like to have a watch and clocks and know what time it is. And even with nature, we pretty much know when we're in spring, summer, fall, and winter. But how keen are we to know the timing of God for things? You know, how much are we looking into the Spirit to see what God's time is in the earth and what he's wanting to do? We need to be careful that we discern the times of God so that we don't miss them. Do you believe that you can miss the timing of God for things? We can. And it's not that he doesn't love us. And he gives lots of chances. But I believe there's a special power on his perfect time. The Bible talks about different wills of God, the good, the acceptable, and the permissible will of God, and the perfect will of God. And we want to be in the perfect will of God and the perfect timing of God. And that's, I believe, when we get the fullest and the most out of what he wants to give. So we need to be careful in ourselves and our spirits to hear and know what God's doing in his timetable. Before we harvest something, how many of us know you have to plant? You have to plant seeds. We talked about that yesterday with the ladies. Even before you plant, you have to work that ground, don't you? And that's work. You have to till it up and work the ground. Before that even, you have to find out and think about where you're going to plant. You know, in our yard, we live basically in the woods. And there's an area I wanted to do a garden, but there's only one little spot that's going to bring that sun. I can't plant under the trees and expect to get a good harvest. So you have to know where you want to plant to know what kind of crop you want to get. Have you ever seen anybody just go out and take seeds and throw them up in the air and watch anything grow great? No. No, it's a purposeful thing when you want a particular crop. It's not left up to chance. When we're serious about growing something, we're on purpose with it. We make a conscious effort. After we've done the groundwork, planted the seed, and know where to plant it, we are consciously putting forth effort in where we want it to go because there's a certain type of crop we want to get out of it. After all that's done, though, it wouldn't be any good if we did all that. We worked the ground, we picked the place, and we planted the seed if we didn't harvest. Wouldn't that be a shame? It would be a shame to have put forth all that effort and not harvest. And harvest is probably one of the most laborious times, I think. You know, it takes a lot of effort. I know when I was a kid, Granny, she lived with us, and she always planted this huge garden. And she'd work that ground all winter, putting nasty stuff on it, coffee grinds and eggshells and garbage. And, you know, I'd be like, ugh. And she'd work it into the ground. And then she'd plant the seeds. And come harvest time, though, she'd say to us, all I want to see are elbows and rear ends. That's what she wanted to see. She wanted to see us all out there like this, picking. And everybody in our house had to go out and do it. We all had to be a part of Granny's planting. So when it is harvest time, we all have to get involved. We all have to be involved in it. It takes long hours, too. Sometimes you have to put in extra effort, and you have to stay with it till it's done. I know in the natural where we live, there's this one road, 7-Eleven. If you visited us, it's a beautiful drive, but that's where a lot of the farms are. And the farmers are out, well, I guess about a month or so ago, and they were constantly, you saw all the farm equipment going up and down the road. And, I mean, they were just getting ready and pulling their equipment out and getting it ready for harvest. And God's given us equipment. We all have something. And he's wanting us to be prepared. And the biggest part of our equipment is our sickle. And what is our sickle? It's the Word of God. So what is our word level like? You know, where are we at? Are we ready? Is that sickle sharp? Have we taken the time to sharpen up the word in us, to get it ready? I believe the Lord's looking for fruit. You know, we come and we sit, and I love to sit and hear a good word more than anybody. I love to come and just be a little fat rat and be under the anointing and draw up the Spirit of God. But we sit and we hear week after week after week. We hear words. We hear sermons. And sometimes we get fat. We just get spiritually fat. And God's wanting us to do something with it. That's his heart. He's wanting fruit. He's looking for fruit. He's inspecting our lives. Look with me. Turn in the Bible, if you have one, to John chapter 4. Are y'all ready to harvest? Are you ready to roll up your sleeves and let the Lord see elbows and rear ends in the spirit? Because it's work. Harvest is work. And it was interesting the other night, I tried to go to bed early so I could be nice and fresh, you know, for ministry, and my husband was on the couch watching God TV, and the next morning he was all excited. He said, I heard two preachers talking about the harvest. So that's exciting, and God's saying it, you know, and that's what he'll do. You might hear it preached a different way, but it's really the same message. It's because that's what's on God's heart. And I believe his heart's breaking for souls. I'm not an evangelist, really. I'm a pastor. But I believe his heart. He wants souls. And I believe that's the cry in the heart of God today. And we need to hear it. We need to stop being distracted, and we need to stop being so caught up in everything the enemy puts in front of us. Because he does not want, the word says, he's not willing that any perish. And if you know, this floor was rolled back and we could just take a glimpse and we could really see what hell looks like, we'd be a little bit more involved in that, I think. John 4, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Shouldn't that be the cry of all of our hearts? Whatever it is, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap, wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you've entered into their labors. Let me say this. Sometimes, even if you're new to the things of God, maybe you haven't had a time to plant, and I'm just going to hit off that last verse. You haven't had time to plant a lot of seed, or maybe you don't understand that. God is so gracious. And he's speeding things up so much now in the last days. Amos 9 says, verse 14, it says, the days are coming, says the Lord, when grain will grow faster than it can be harvested, and grapes will grow faster than wine can be made. The mountains will drip with sweet wine, and the hills will flow with it. In other words, an acceleration on things. God's putting spiritual miracle grow. So it's never too late to get in on this. You know, people, I'm seeing financial increase in our church too, and with people in that harvest area. And it's never too late to start sowing seed. But how many of us know if we don't put something out, if there's not something there, you're not going to get anything back? It's that simple. It's that simple. Seed time and harvest. Amen. It's for everyone. We can get involved where, if you haven't been involved in it at all, God's saying now, he's going to make it so great that grain will grow faster than it can be harvested. One day you can put the grain in the ground, or you can plant the seeds of God, and the next day you can be harvesting it. It's how quick he's going to work. Okay, back to John. The Lord was instructing his disciples here to look. He said, notice. He said, really look with your eyes, the eyes of your spirit. By his comment, they knew he wasn't talking about the natural harvest. Sometimes we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone, not lean on our intelligence, the mind. I heard my old preacher used to say there's 7 inches between heaven and hell, between the head and the heart. So we have to get out of the mind realm. the longer I serve the Lord, the less I think I know about him, you know. So Jesus was saying here, though, look, really perceive in yourself, look in the Spirit, know and understand that the time of harvesting is upon you. Look at the fields of life and know they are white and ready to be picked. How many farmers do we have in here? Is anybody a farmer? Have you ever farmed? No farmers? We have one? Have you ever had a crop come and ask you to pick it? No? They don't come and ask to be picked. They don't come to us. We have to go to them. We have to go to the crops. We have to go to the plants. The same in the Spirit. You know, a lot of times we'll say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. But you know what the truth is? God's waiting on you. He really is waiting on you. He's waiting on us. Things aren't just going to come to us. People that need to be here in these seats, they're not busting down the doors, are they? And let me tell you, you have a wonderful church. You have something to be proud of, not in a bad way. You have wonderful pastors. It's an awesome covering here. The ministries, it's just a beautiful flow. You have a wonderful place to bring people to. God has prepared this place. His Spirit's here, and it's just a great place to bring a baby, I'll tell you. You know, in the natural, when we're going to have children, we do baby showers and we get the room ready and all that because we want to have, we just want to be ready. But I believe you're already ready. I think you've made that preparation. But God wants you to go to that next step of being proactive in the harvest. I believe the Lord says to you today, VFF, open your eyes, look, and understand, for the field is white. Harford County is white. Men and women stand in the valley of decision. We stand next to them. And this was in the prayer this morning. It tickled me. In the grocery store, I heard Pastor Debbie praying about taking the land, you setting the tone. In the grocery store, in the doctor's office, on your job, wherever you are. But you know, a lot of times we're so wrapped up with what we're doing, we do not even hear God. We're so task-oriented. And then we miss so many opportunities. There was a time I fasted. It was several years ago. We were actually living here in Maryland. And I spent the day fasting and praying. And I was done, and I wanted to break my fast, and I went into 7-Eleven to get something. And there was a lady there. She was standing behind the cash register. And I don't know how it just started the conversation, but she started talking to me. And the next thing I know, I was leading her to the Lord. And right there in the 7-Eleven. And, you know, the Lord brought that back to me. It's how easy it is. And then since we moved to Virginia, we joined a pool. And we actually joined this pool thinking it would be our hiding place. We were going to be incognito. Nobody would know we're pastors. We could go there to rest, and that would be our place. And we were swimming one day, and our granddaughter Kaylee was with us. And she looked at the vice president of the pool, and she said, "Hey, Miss Donna, did you know my mammy and poppy own a church?" And I was like, "Shh." She's like, "No, they own a church." And Donna, you know, smiled at her. She said, "I didn't know that." I'd like to go there early in the morning. No one's there. And I'd pray and I'd study and read. And Don does the same thing. And our cover was blown big time. But you know what? That ended up being a mission field for us because we started ministering to people. We call it the party pool because it's a big party place. And but we have seen changes there. They'll come up and they'll ask me, "Can I have a session with you?" And I'm still not sure what that means. But I'm doing these little side sessions at the pool with these ladies. And we're, you know, ministering to these people. And God's using us, and they're coming back to the Lord. Some of them are so backslidden. One of them's pastor is someone you all know, I'll just say that. And he was under such conviction one day of talking and sharing with us. And I mean, the harvest is so ripe. If I was stuck in myself, though, which I can be, we all can, and I insisted on having my way, this is my space. This is my time. This is my place. We wouldn't have reached these people if Don had done that. Instead, we saw the Lord say, no, I want to do something here, and we yielded to it. And we have seen fruit. Gosh, a lot of fruit from the people at our swimming pool, thanks to my granddaughter, Kaylee, who told everybody that we owned a church. So, you know, we can come up with excuses. We can say, I'm not evangelistic. That's just not my personality. It's not my call, not my gift. What's interesting that Jesus said, I believe it was in Matthew 28, where he said, go and teach all nations. That word teach there means go make a disciple. That's a command. Doesn't matter what your motivational gift is. It doesn't matter what you think your calling is and your anointing. We have a mandate. All of us. No one's exempt from it. I remember also one time, I'm telling a few stories to make some points here, but we lived, when we lived here in Harford County, this was years ago, I was ministering to my neighbor, and her sister moved in with her, and God was doing wonderful things there with her, and she would bring her sister down, and we'd have sessions, I guess they called it that too. I don't know what that means, but just listening to them, not judging them, but listening and offering hope, the word, a different way. And as I'm sitting there and I'm you know, talking to her, God draws her in and she starts serving the Lord. Well, I was on my way to church. It was actually, BFF was in the warehouse back then. And I'm on my way to church and I'm going down Joppa Road and I hear the Lord say, see that man up there? I want you to go up and talk to him. And I said, I can't talk to that man. He's a man. I'm a woman. And my kids were little, and I don't believe Don was serving the Lord yet with me, but I just kept going, and I felt this tug, turn around and go back. And I didn't. I didn't turn around and go back. Came on to church, had a good time in church. I needed to be fed. Then I went on about my way and went home. He wasn't out there doing that when I went by, working on his car. So a few days go by, and my neighbor comes running through the yards. She says, Tammy, my ex-husband was in a horrible accident. He was on 95 on a motorcycle, and his motorcycle slid out and went under a truck, and he was killed. And I said, oh, I'm sorry for you. And I prayed with her. And then I was cooking a meal, and she said, well, I'm going to be at our old house if you'll bring that meal. So I made a ham and all the things that go with it, and I took it to her house. And guess whose house it was? It was the man the Lord told me to stop and talk to that was killed 2 days after. I didn't listen. And that was a tough pill for me to swallow. And to top it off, I went to school with the guy. And I knew him. So we need to be so careful that we don't miss those opportunities. We don't make excuses. We're not so caught up in our life. And I have repented since then. So that's why I guess maybe I'm a little bit more careful not to turn away and say, no, I want my time. And I want to do my thing, because I have experienced missing God in someone's life. I don't know where that man is spending eternity. And I know that's a little downer, but that is the seriousness of it and of the message of God. And what he will never lead you somewhere wrong. I shared with the ladies yesterday, God, you know, we get stretched, and we talked about being stretching forth. But God will never stretch you to break you. Ever. The devil will snap and break you, but God won't. He'll never break you. Jesus said he came to do the will of the Father. Are we accomplishing that? Let's go back and look at John chapter 4, the beginning of that. Verse 5, it says, then comes he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Jesus said to the woman, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew who it is that saith to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where have you that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank himself and his children and his cattle? And he answered and said, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said, go call your husband and come here. And the woman said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five. And he who you now live with is not your husband. And that you said truly. And the woman said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. How about that? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour comes, and it's here, when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour come, and is now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship must worship in spirit and truth. And then the woman said, I know your Messiah, which is called Christ. I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto you am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled. And he talked with the woman, yet no one said, why, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way to the city and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. You know, it's interesting here, a few points. Jesus was just passing through. That's kind of what the story leads us to believe. And the word tells us he was weary and tired. And he was thirsty. Basically, you know, he was a man. He wanted to get a drink, and he wanted to sit down, and he wanted to take a break. But instead of thinking about himself and his agenda and how tired he was ready to offer his life and give this woman what she needed. Many times we're tired and worn out, and I understand that being in ministry. You know, I think sometimes if that phone rings just one more time, but, you know, we can sleep later. God will give you that time, and it's important when he does that we take it. But we don't need to be just so centered around ourselves. Ever heard that saying about somebody, they just turn around themselves? We got to get out of that. We got to get about turning around him. Notice there wasn't a big crowd around to minister to here. There was one woman. Even if Jesus went that way, he went maybe even out of his way for one woman, one person. He will go out of his way for the one. He's interested in building his kingdom one person at a time. You know the old saying, if you were the only one. You know, we've heard that, and sometimes we get so calloused and cold to the things of God because we're used to them. But if we were the only one, Jesus would have came for you. Well, this proves it. One lady, one person. Noticed also, as he ministered to her, the word of knowledge was in operation, wasn't it? You know, talking about Not just the guy she was with, but the other five. He didn't condemn her with it, though. He didn't, you know, he wasn't pointing his finger and making her feel bad. I'm sure conviction came, because the Spirit of God does bring conviction. It doesn't bring condemnation. God wants the gifts he's given you to operate not just here on Sunday morning and in this church, but on the outside. They're for the harvest. And do you know a gift is not for you? The gift that God's given you is not for you to, so you can feel good and be fulfilled. It's for other people. A gift is, the gifts of God are for him to use through you to reach other people. Do you have a teaching gift and you feel frustrated? Start a Bible study in your neighborhood. There's only so much, and I can say this because I have a church, there's only so many opportunities you're going to get in the church building. So if you want to teach, find somewhere to teach. You want to preach, we've been going, I shared with the ladies yesterday, to a nursing home. It's wonderful. Go there. There's prisons. There's hurting people that need to hear it. Are you prophetically motivated? Do you just want to prophesy and speak into people's lives? I can tell you what, if you do what Jesus did, just be led of the Spirit, and then some lady comes up and you tell her about her past five husbands or boyfriends, can you imagine? Can you imagine how that's going to open her up? I hear that. Remember that old song, Taking It to the Streets? Anybody remember that? If I was a singer, I'd sing it for you. But that's what I hear the Lord saying, taking it to the streets. Jesus told this woman about her past, her present, and then he talked to her about her future, the worship. He directed her to the one who could satisfy her, who could, she was thirsty. How many people do you know in wrong relationships like her? You know, she was looking for love in all the wrong places, wasn't she? But isn't it interesting? It says she immediately went out, and she went to the men. Doesn't say she went to the women. I don't think she was probably very popular with ladies. I think she was probably popular with men. But it doesn't say she ran to the women to tell them. She went to the men. Well, what men do you think she went to? The guys she'd been in bed with. Come on. And she said, come see a man that told me everything I ever did. Everything. He knew all about me. Now, she didn't say, and he shamed me with it. And he called my sin horrible. You know, God speaks to the treasure in us. We're a treasure. We were bought with a price because we're a treasure. And there's a treasure in each one of us. And each person out there, he sees something we don't see. It's like, as I shared with the ladies yesterday, when standing for my marriage and my husband, I couldn't see what God saw. I couldn't see where we would be today. But God saw that treasure. And if we look through the eyes of faith, we can see the treasures. Amen? Some people even think they have too much going on in their own lives to be a good witness. I've heard that, well, when I get myself straightened out. I don't think this lady had a lot of time to get straightened out. I'm just going to bust every excuse today. I really don't. I don't think she had, there was a class after she talked with Jesus. Let's talk about the 1-2-3s of evangelism. You know, she just had a story. We have a story. God's done something for you. If all he ever did was save you, that's a story. We have a story. We have something to share. Sometimes we are we're a little backward and we're timid with it and we back off because we're afraid or we don't know quite how to do it. If you ask him to, he'll open the door and you'll share. And it's real easy. You know, the book of Proverbs says that he who wins souls is wise. That's a wise person that wins souls. And I believe the time is short. Like I said, I'm not an evangelist. I'm really not. But I do know what I'm hearing in my heart from God. That woman's testimony brought others to Jesus. You know, some people have a more dramatic testimony. I didn't have the drama that Don had with his. But I have a testimony about the keeping power of God. That's a testimony. I think, because I used to feel like, wow, I wasn't all wrapped up in all the drugs and that lifestyle. I mean, yes, I sinned. I'm not perfect, but I didn't get hooked into that. And God told me, he said, no, what you had was that granny that made me work in the field was also the granny that prayed for me. And she prayed heavy duty for me, and I'm the result of her prayers today. But, you know, the Lord showed me her prayers kept me from a lot, and I didn't go certain places. And that's the power of God, isn't it? Luke 19:13 says, occupy till I come. That means to busy yourself, to employ in some form of useful labor, to take possession. And again, I heard that in prayer this morning. Take possession. Do you know this is yours? Now, if you don't harvest at the right time, what'll happen? It'll rot on the vine. Or the enemy will come along and steal it. And we got a revelation of that in our church, because we had been sowing lots of seeds and we've been planting in all these people's lives, and then they were going to all these other churches, and it was bugging me, and I'm like, this ain't right, you know. And part of me wanted to stop doing it. Like, I'm not going to do it so they can go, you know. I mean, that's just the human side. And we were at prayer one Wednesday night, and the Lord said, the enemy's stealing your harvest. And so we started putting a demand on that harvest in the spirit realm. No, that's ours. We've planted, we've worked those fields, and we're not going to be stolen from. And we just have to be careful, though. We have to do it in the right time. Amen? Okay. I'm going to look at, I think, one more scripture. Matthew chapter 9. Go there with me, please. Verse 35. I want to say while you're looking there, God wants to, he's going to use your mouth. There's no getting around it. Okay, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And he said, the harvest truly, truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers into his harvest. See, this is God's harvest. Excuse me, I want to read that out of the Message translation. Said, Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased body. He healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowd, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. What a huge harvest, he said to his disciples. How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands. How many times have we taken that scripture and we've said, I'm just going to pray for laborers, you know, pray for God to send somebody. But in this translation, he's saying, no, you be the laborer. Pray for your hands to be the harvest hands. You are the hands of God in the earth. And he needs us. He really needs us to be involved in this work. And, you know, we have a choice. Do we want to get involved with it? And I know this is going to seem a little tough when I say this, but God reminded me that in Esther, she had a job to do, to go before the king. And she was afraid. She felt inadequate. And her uncle said to her, if you don't do it, he said, somebody else is going to rise up, but deliverance will come. So we need to hear God say, if we don't get involved, he's given us opportunity. If we don't, it's going to come another way. Because he's going to reach them, the ones that want to be reached. But how involved do we want to be with it? In verse 37 there, he says, the harvest is huge. If it's huge, then why aren't we seeing it? I believe we haven't had the vision for it. And we weren't really looking for it. You know, when you have vision for something, it almost like consumes you. It consumes your being. That's all you can think about. It's all you can talk about. So when we have the vision of God for something, it should be consuming us. Our prayer, our thoughts, we should be ready to be used. Amen? God wants to unlock things in the earth for us. He wants us to reap a harvest, not just with souls, finances. And I know when we were back here in, I don't know when we were here, April or May, God, I brought a word about multiplication to y'all. That hasn't left. I still feel that for y'all. He wants to bless you. You have done good with sowing seed and giving money and supporting things, and you're a wonderful giving congregation, and God wants to bless you. But if you're not harvest minded, it's going to pass you by, and you're not going to get it, not going to reap the rewards of your labor. So God wants to bless you financially, your health, in your church, your ministry, and everywhere that you've sown a seed. Do you know there's people in your family that have sown seeds that have died and went on? They never reaped it. It's still there. You can get that too. You can go back. Let the Lord show you that. We've been doing that. We've been praying about it and calling it in. Even giftings and callings. There was a prophetic anointing on the women in my family, and they used it in a bad way, and they went to fortune tellers and all that. They didn't know. And we thank God this generation, God's redeemed that. And using it for his kingdom and not the kingdom of darkness. So it's never too late. Never. Genesis 8:22, I mentioned this before, says, while the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. It will not cease. That's a perpetual law of God, and it will never end as long as the earth is here. Start seeing yourself. Today, make a decision. I'm going to start seeing myself involved in this harvest in every area. God wants you to have it all. You know that? I want it all. He wants you to have it all. We don't have to settle. Can I have the first projector? Like this. I can look up there. The first slide, please. I just want to go over three ways to help you prepare. And I like to use scripture reference. I mean, that is your foundation. That's your sickle that I talked about in the beginning. For salvation. That means sozo, healing, deliverance. It's more encompassing than just somebody getting saved. It's every area. For you, your household, and others. The scripture references there are Acts 16:31 and Psalm 2:8. And that's a promise you can stand on. That's your sickle. Number two is finances. And the scripture reference there is Exodus 12:36 and Isaiah 45:3. As Israel moved out in one night, one day they were slaves, next day they were toting all the jewels of Egypt down with them. Weren't they? I mean, they went out rich. But you know what? They sowed seed for that. That was harvest. They were taking harvest with them. And number three, opportunities. Revelation 3:8. Expect unusual doors of opportunity to open for you. and be bold to step out in them. If you don't expect it, you're not going to get it. That's just the way it is. You know, we receive from God what we believe about him and what we expect from him and what we perceive about him. So if you take these things and just start expecting it, expect God to use you too. And I know you're well trained. And even if you're new, you can be like this woman. I mean, brand new. She just ran to tell the people she'd been sinning with. And that's usually where you go. You go back to the old company, don't we? Okay, I'm going to read one more scripture to you. And then I felt like I have a song that Karen and Sherelle from our worship team did, and I want to play it, and I want to open the altar up. Because I believe today the Lord wants you to come and get on your knees and pray for Harvest Hands, if you're serious about it. Okay, Genesis chapter 11 says, "The whole earth was one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth.' And the Lord came down in the city and the tower which the children to see the city and tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people are one. And they have all one language, and they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they've imagined to do.'" See, they were in one accord, weren't they? When God's given you direction, we need to be flowing together in it. And as we flow together in that, and it's not just for BFF, he's telling the body of Christ this, obviously. Flow together. And then he said, nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. And again, that Message translation says, "Jesus made a circuit of the towns and villages and taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, healing their bodies, their bruised and hurt lives. He looked over the crowds. His heart broke." Sometimes we can get, like I said, so used to God and his blessings that we get cold and calloused. We need that ground tilled up in us again. He had compassion. You know, if you've lost your compassion, just ask God for it. Sometimes you can be in situations where you can hear so much and be around so much, you kind of get cold to that too. If you lack it, ask him to give it back. He'll give it to you. That's what makes the power of God work, is compassion. In verse 37, he said, "What a huge harvest, how few workers." It's huge. On your knees and pray for Harvest Hands. So I'm going to ask you this morning, does that sound like something you want to do? Do you want to respond to the work of God, what he wants to do? Because, you know, and I know they've been saying this for years and years and years, Jesus is coming. I've heard it all my Christian life. But if we look in here, we see all the signs and how dark it's getting out there. It's so dark. We're to shine brighter, right, in darkness. Not be affected by the darkness, but shine in it. Not be overtaken by it. But he's coming back. And everything you have, you're not taking anything, nothing in your house with you. Much as I like nice things, they're not going to heaven with me. It's those people. People. And God came for people. He wants people. He wants a bigger family. So if you can agree with that and you can respond to that, can we start that song? I'd like you to come up. Get around the altar here and ask God to give you Harvest Hands. Amen.